Hey, you're tuned in to the Verve Podcast live from the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for listening, and viva la Verve.
Today I want us to think about the best question ever. And that got me thinking about questions in general. You know, we all ask a lot of questions, and most of us have a new friend who we can ask questions of, Siri. And so I decided to ask Siri some questions, and I got some weird answers. These are all real. So I asked, hey Siri, what do you dream about?
I only dream of helping you. Well, that and fiery winged unicorns.
Fiery winged unicorns. Siri, how old are you?
I am as old as the eastern wind and as young as a newborn caterpillar.
Hey Siri, what are you doing later?
I'm reading the dictionary. Don't tell me how it ends.
She's studying, apparently. Hey Siri, will you go out on a date with me?
Thank you for asking, but I don't really date humans.
Oh man. And last I asked, hey Siri, can you talk dirty to me?
The carpet needs vacuuming.
Ah, dirty, yeah. Asking the right questions is an essential life hack. In our life hack series, we're learning strategies to make our lives better. Like, how can we make 2019 the best year ever? And together, we're gonna learn the best question ever. See, as we make our way through life, I think a lot of what happens to us and where we end up depends on the questions we ask. We see this in the Bible. There are people who lived great lives, and there are people whose lives took a bad turn and it ended poorly. And the difference is usually the questions they asked. Today, we're going to look at one of the bad stories in the Bible, the story of Samson. The story of Samson starts off great. His parents were godly people, but they were unable to have a child. And so they pray and pray, asking God to give them a baby. Finally, God responds. He says, you're going to have a son and never let his hair be cut. Samson's mother gets pregnant, gives birth to Samson. She and her husband raise him to be devoted to God. And that's how his story starts. He's dedicated to God. God blesses him. We see Samson doing great things for God. He's a leader. He's got amazing strength. He confronts people who do wrong. But then things change. Let's read a big chunk of his story together. We're going to put all the Bible verses on the screen for you, and we give out free Bibles at the Velcro Bar, which is our connecting place. I'd love to give you a Bible if you need one. Judges chapter 16, starting in verse 4. Sometime later, he, that's Samson, fell in love with a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. The rulers of the Philistines went to her and said, see if you can lure him into showing you the secret of his great strength and how we can overpower him so we may tie him up and subdue him. Each one of us will give you 1,100 shekels of silver. So Delilah said to Samson, tell me the secret of your great strength and how you can be tied up and subdued. Shouldn't right there Samson kind of do a Scooby-Doo? Right? Like it's time to break up. It's time to say, it's not you, it's me. But here's what happened. Samson answered her, if anyone ties me with 7 fresh thongs, not that kind of thong, 7 fresh thongs, like strings, that have not been dried, I'll become as weak as any other man. Then the rulers of the Philistines brought her 7 fresh thongs that had not been dried, and she tied him with them. With men hidden in the room, she called to him, Samson, the Philistines are upon you. But he snapped the thongs as easily as a piece of string snaps when it comes close to a flame. So the secret of his strength was not discovered. Then Delilah said to Samson, you have made a fool of me. You lied to me. Come now, tell me how you can be tied. Again, break up, right? Tell her, thank you, next. You get me. Some of you get me. He said, if anyone ties me securely with new ropes that have never been used, I'll become as weak as any other man. So she called to him. So Delilah took new ropes and tied him with them. Then with men hidden in the room, she called to him, Samson, the Philistines are upon you. But he snapped the ropes off his arms as if they were threads. Delilah then said to Samson, until now you have been making a fool of me and lying to me. Tell me how you can be tied. Again, break up with her, right? It's time to say roses are red, violets are blue, garbage is dumped, so are you. But no, you can use that one. He replied, If you weave the 7 braids of my head into the fabric on the loom and tighten it with a pin, I'll become as weak as any other man. So while he was sleeping, Delilah took the 7 braids of his head, wove them into the fabric, and tightened it with a pin. Again, she called to him, Samson, the Philistines are upon you. He awoke from his sleep and pulled up the pin and the loom with the fabric. Then she said to him, how can you say I love you when you won't confide in me? This is the 3rd time you have made a fool of me and haven't told me the secret of your great strength. Samson, break up with her, right? Tell her we're through, but can I still share your Netflix account? But no, with such nagging, she prodded him day after day until he was tired to death. So he told her everything. No razor has ever been used on my head, he said, because I have been a Nazirite set apart to God since birth. If my head were shaved, my strength would leave me and I would become as weak as any other man. But when Delilah saw that he had told her everything, she sent word to the rulers of the Philistines, come back once more, he has told me everything. So the rulers of the Philistines returned with the silver in their hands. Having put him to sleep on her lap, she called a man to shave off the 7 braids of his hair, and so began to subdue him, and his strength left him. Then she called Samson, the Philistines are upon you. He awoke from his sleep and thought, I'll go out as before and shake myself free. But he did not know that the Lord had left him. Then the Philistines seized him, gouged out his eyes, and took him down to Gaza. Binding him with bronze shackles, they set him to grinding grain in the prison. Well, Samson has a little bit of a last hurrah later because he does get revenge on these people who have wronged him. But in getting revenge on them, he dies. And as Samson sat blind, eyes gouged out, shackled in a prison cell. And then later, when Samson died, I bet he asked himself a question. I bet Samson asked the question, how did this happen to me? How did this happen to me? We often ask the same question, right? When we find ourselves in the wrong place with no way out, well, how did this happen to me? When the divorce becomes final, how did this happen to me? As we stare at a credit card bill that will probably cause us to declare bankruptcy. How did this happen to me? When we get fired from our job, when we look into the bottom of another empty bottle, when our wife says, I found out I know what you've been doing. How did this happen to me? The reason we ask ourselves that question when we're in trouble is because we failed to ask the right question along the way. With Samson, the reason he asked that question at the end of the road, sitting blind and shackled in prison and then dying a horrible death, is because he asked the wrong questions all along and because he failed to ask the best question ever. What questions do you think Samson was asking? We don't know, but I think we can guess. I mean, just kind of looking through the story, you can see all these risks that Samson took, right? First, Samson was an Israelite, but he's interested in this Philistine woman. Well, the Israelites were God's people, and he had told them to not marry outside of their people. And not only, so he's disobeying God, and not only is she outside of his people, she was a Philistine, they were the enemies. You might be wondering, if their people were enemies, how did they even meet? Tinder. I'm kidding, they didn't have Tinder, it was Bumble. Samson took the risk of marrying someone outside of his people, an enemy of his people. Second, what's up with the hair? But like his whole life, Samson had been told the story of how God had told him they would have a kid and he could never have his hair cut. The secret of his great strength was somehow tied to his hair. He was warned, protect your hair. Don't let anyone ever cut your hair. But instead of holding on to that, instead of holding on to the word of God, Samson kind of plays with it, right? We see this kind of progression. Delilah starts out asking, hey, how... Just curious, just wondering, how can I take your great strength away from you? Which isn't that clue enough that there's something wrong. This is not a love connection. It's time to change your Facebook status from it's complicated to single and ready to mingle. But no, he's like, bowstrings. Tie me up with bowstrings. And that doesn't work. And then he says, I was only kidding, bae. But what you need to do is new ropes. Tie me up with new ropes. And then he says, actually, take my hair. He's getting closer to the truth, right? He says, take my hair and put it in 7 braids. His whole life, he had been told, just protect your hair. But now he's having a little bit of fun with this. And then finally he says, cut it off. If you cut it off, what questions do you think Samson was asking this whole time? I think he was asking, how close to the edge of the ledge can I get without falling off? You know what I mean? He was asking questions like, how close can I get to the line between right and wrong without actually doing something wrong? And that kind of slid into asking, how far over the line between right and wrong can I go without experiencing consequences? And then maybe it was, okay, how much consequences can I experience without it having too bad of a negative impact on my life? Samson was walking on the edge of the ledge, and we do exactly the same thing, don't we? We wonder, like, how close can we get? We start out asking the question, is there anything really wrong with it? And the assumption we have is, if there's nothing really wrong with it, well, then it must be okay, right? If it's not clearly illegal, unethical, or immoral, then it's a valid option. And then we slide into another question. How close to the line between right and wrong can I get without doing something wrong? Like, I know we can't have sex, but what can we have? I'm on this diet, so I'm not going to eat the whole cheesecake, but I could have a piece or two. I know I can't gossip about her, but I could share a prayer request about her with some people. Just tell people I'm very concerned about her. And then it slides into a third question. How far over the line between right and wrong can I go without experiencing consequences? Or, in other words, how unethical, immoral, or insensitive can I be without suffering any unmanageable outcomes? How long can I neglect my family, my finances, my job, without really feeling the effects? How far can I indulge in an addictive behavior without becoming addicted? Isn't that what happens? Right, with Samson, he didn't start out planning on ruining his life. Right? He didn't start out planning on losing his strength. He didn't plan on humiliating himself. He didn't plan on breaking God's heart. But all of that happened because he asked the wrong questions. Same with us, right? No one ever starts out planning on becoming addicted to alcohol or pornography or drugs. No one ever plans on having an affair, destroying their marriage, getting a divorce. No one plans on being so obsessed with their jobs that they neglect their kids and they grow up resenting them. No one ever plans on, I'm going to be 50 pounds overweight one day. We don't plan on it. We just ask the wrong questions. The problem is we don't plan on it, but we don't plan not to. We don't put the necessary safeguards in place to ensure that we have a happy ending. The problem is we don't ask the right question. There's a pastor and author named Andy Stanley, and he has a book called The Best Question Ever. It's a good book. I'm stealing some of his ideas today. So he is a great thinker, and he makes this contention, and I agree with him, that if we just ask what he calls the best question ever, when we face difficult situations or choices or temptations, it would foolproof our lives. We could avoid all the negative stuff. Asking the best question ever will keep us from ever having to ask the question, how did this happen to me? The best question ever comes from the Bible, from a book called Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to start in verse 15. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. So it starts out again. It says, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. And the best question ever is, what is the wise thing to do? What is the wise thing to do? We should not ask ever, is it wrong? Can I get away with it? Will it hurt anyone? Could I quit if I have to? Can I handle the consequences? Will anyone ever find out? Is it really that bad? Where in the Bible does it say that I can't do that? Is this illegal? Is it permissible? None of those are the right questions. What's permissible is often not what's best for us. What's legal is not necessarily what's right. The Bible doesn't talk about a bunch of things that we still shouldn't do. God never called us to live at a level of what's permissible, legal, or commonly acceptable. He told us to live as wise. Not because he's the morality police. Okay, not because he's trying to steal joy or help you to make sure you don't have any fun in life. It's because he is a good father. And he wants to lead us into the best life possible. So we need to ask the best question ever. What is the wise thing to do? Man, if Samson had just asked that question, everything would have turned out different for him. Right? He wouldn't be a joke today, which is what he is. Instead, he'd be a hero of the faith. But he's not because he didn't ask the best question ever. I mean, if Samson had asked the best question ever, everything would have turned out different for him, right? Like when he was first attracted to Delilah, if he had asked, what is the wise thing to do, he never would have ended up with her. When she asked him, hey, how can I bind you up and take your strength away? If he had asked, what is the wise thing to do? He wouldn't have started playing games with her. But when she said, come on, you've been lying to me. What's the real secret? He didn't ask, what's the wise thing to do? Because if he had, he wouldn't have said, cut my hair off. That's the secret. If he had just asked the best question ever, he never would have ended up blind and shackled sitting in a prison cell asking, how did this happen to me? Because the answer to that question is, you did this to you, Samson. You did this to you. Things ended up this way because of your bad choices. And the same is true for us. When we fall off the edge of the ledge and we get ourselves bruised and bloody, we love to make excuses and make justifications and blame other people. But the truth is, you did this to you. Right? Things ended up this way because of your bad choices. And I'm no different from you. I have made most of the same bad choices you've made. And think for a minute about like your biggest regret. It might be something from years ago. It may be something you're struggling with right now. Can you see how some or probably all of what you regret could have been avoided if you just asked the best question ever? In this book, Andy Stanley talks about asking the best question ever in three different ways. So whenever you face a situation, you face a decision, you're confronted with a temptation, first, ask the best question ever with an eye towards the past. Ask, in light of my past experiences, what is the wise thing to do? And we need to do this because some of our past experiences predispose us towards certain strengths and weaknesses, right? Your personal history makes you more prone to certain temptations and less prone to others. Like, I know people who refuse to use credit cards. I use credit cards. So am I being unwise? No, but it is the wise thing for them to do because they've struggled in the past with overspending debt. I have friends who will under no circumstances walk into a bar. And that is the wise thing for them to do because they've struggled in the past with alcoholism. So first, you ask the best question ever with an eye towards the past. In light of my past experiences, what's the wise thing to do? We should also ask this question thinking about where we're at today. We ask, in light of my current circumstances, what is the wise thing to do? Because I owe it to myself and I owe it to the people that I love to take my current emotions and state of mind and stage of life into account when I make my decisions. So for instance, when my kids were little, my wife didn't work outside the home. So is that a principle for life? Not working outside the home is the wise thing for a wife to? No. Well, before we had kids, she worked outside of her home. And when our kids went to school, she started working part-time. And now our kids are older, she works full-time. But when our kids were little, her current circumstance led her to feel like the wise thing for her to do was to stay at home with them. Or when a person first becomes a Christian, I will encourage that person to not date for at least a year. I also encourage people who are coming out of a divorce, don't date for at least a year. So is not dating the right thing to do? No, not always. But when a person's first becoming a Christian, they're still figuring out, like, who am I and what am I looking for and what is God's way of doing this? And I think that person needs some time before they take the risk of dating. A person coming out of a divorce has a lot of raw emotions and they need some time to heal before they take the risk of dating. And so in light of their current circumstances, maybe dating right now isn't the wise thing to do. So we look back, we look at where we're at today, and then we look ahead. We ask, in light of my future hopes and dreams, what is the wise thing to do? You know, the reality is we all have hopes and dreams for the future, but man, most people don't have their dreams come true. Like I get to talk to hundreds and hundreds of people. I don't know many adults who would say, today I am living out my dreams. And typically the reason is because we robbed ourselves of the chance to live out our dreams by the decisions we made in the moment without thinking of how they would impact our future. And then we get to the future and we realize that we derailed our plans by having too much debt, too much alcohol, too many relationships, too many nights out, too many missed classes. And this is why those of us who are parents, man, we need to teach our kids to make today's decisions in light of what they hope for tomorrow. And we all need to learn this. So this is like the married guy who starts talking to this girl at work, and then they start kind of flirting and things are progressing. Man, he is not thinking about the future. He's not thinking about the pain he's going to cause his wife. He's not thinking about the fact that he's going to have kids who grow up resenting him. He's only going to get to see him every other weekend. He is not asking the best question ever with an eye to the future. And the same is true for us when we work late and miss dinner again with our kids, when we sleep in late again and miss exercising, when we go way over budget to buy that new car, but it's so cool, or we skip another date night with our spouse. None of it seems like a big deal. And honestly, probably it isn't, right? Like one missed dinner, one missed workout, one missed date, one extra payment. But what happens is, as we continually mount up those little decisions, and none of them are a big deal, but we're never thinking about the cumulative impact, we finally reach a future that looks nothing like our original hopes and dreams. Our family life isn't what we want. Our financial life is a mess. And then we ask the question, how did this happen to me? The reason is because we failed to ask the best question ever. We were only thinking about today instead of asking, in light of my future hopes and dreams, what is the wise thing to do? And really, asking and applying the best question ever foolproofs your life. Right? Samson's life became a joke, and it's because he didn't ask the best question ever. All the mistakes I've made, all the mistakes you've made, I bet probably all of them never would have happened if we just paused and asked the best question ever. Let me answer a question you might be wondering right now. So what if I do that? What if there's a situation, a decision, I ask the best question ever, what's the wise thing to do, and I don't know the answer? I'm like, I don't know. Here's what you do. Nothing. Don't do anything until you can get wisdom from other people. That's why, man, we all need to be in a Verve group. Sign-ups for Verve groups start next weekend. I'm super excited. Verve groups are like 6 to 16 people, meet usually once a week, and it gives you a group of friends who are moving in the same direction you are to do life with, and it gives you people who you can say, help me, give me some wisdom for this decision because I don't know the wise thing to do. Do you know who needs that? I do. That's why I am always in a group, and you do. We all do. And so next week, sign up for a group. We all need friends like that, and we all need to ask this question because you are going to ask a question. You are. Either after everything's gone wrong, you will ask, how did this happen to me? Or before the decisions, preventing those things from ever going wrong, you can ask, what is the wise thing to do? And that is a life hack that will change your life. And so let's pray together for that. Let's pray. God, thank you for being a God who loves us. It's crazy, it's mind-boggling that you love us. You love us so much, you came to earth, lived for us, and died for us so that someday we can go to a perfect heaven with you. But you want more for us. You are a God who gives us wisdom and who is with us every day so that we can live the best life possible. And we live that life in part by asking the best question ever. God, help us before we make decisions, before we do even the things that seem like little things because they mount up. God, help us to ask what is the wise thing to do. Help us to live our lives with wisdom. God, if we do that, 2019 will be our best year ever. And we want that. God, thanks for being an awesome God who loves us and gives us wisdom. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.